This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome in to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. I'm Dan McNeil, and we have plenty of free agency movement in the NFL. The Bears will have at least two new starters when they open the season come September, because Justin Jones, the defensive tackle, signed a deal with the Arizona Cardinals, and you can pencil in DeAndre Swift to be the starting running back for Matt Eberflus's Bears when they open the season. The Bears signing the former Eagle and former Detroit Lion to a 3-year deal worth about $24 million. It cost them a little bit more than what David Montgomery got from the Lions last year, but time to move on. They are young at the running back position. Swift is only 25 years old. They also have the now second-year player, Roschon Johnson, the fourth-round pick out of Texas, who I was a little disappointed in this past year. I had high expectations for Johnson, given everything that was said about him coming out of UT, that, yeah, Bijan Robinson is the reason he didn't star at the college level, and the bar was pretty high. People said the Bears stole him as a fourth rounder. Didn't really see that this past year, and he was pressed into duty because Khalil Herbert was injured. You might recall how he got injured when Justin Fields turned him around on a little bitty circle route and tore up his ankle a little bit in the process and missed 4 weeks. And when he came back, I think it was 4 weeks, when he came back, he wasn't the same player. But the Bears address a positional need, in my opinion, one of their biggest needs offensively was running back. I put it behind center, and there still is an opportunity to get better at that position via free agency. It won't be the cat from the Tennessee Titans, whose name escapes me right now, but nobody knows who these guys are anyway. He signed with the Dolphins yesterday. The division looks so much different. Let's step back from the Bears for a second and take a peek at the Minnesota Vikings, who will not have Kirk Cousins anymore. Cousins signed with Atlanta Monday, and that quells the rumors Justin Fields might be going home to play for the Falcons, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan today, and I don't know why you would be, but if you were, how do you feel about Cousins being the man to take you to that next level with all that young offensive talent? Kyle Pitts, who after a terrific rookie year, the tight end, a high first rounder, disappeared. You have talent at the wideout position in Drake London, the now third year player out of USC, and you have Robinson as your go-to running back. That's enough talent to build around. Cousins is coming off an ACL. I'm sorry, not an ACL. He's coming off an Achilles surgery. And at this point in his career, he's not a super mobile guy anyway. You have to wonder how much Kirk Cousins has left. He's had a fine NFL career. Is he a winner? Man, it's tough for me to say yes, he is, even though he has authored six, I think, 4,000-yard seasons, might be seven, a handful with Washington, and then many more with the Vikings. So it's just, he's one of those guys who's good enough to break your heart. If you're going to go deep into the playoffs with Kirk Cousins, you better be damn good around him. You better have a great running game. You better be sharp on special teams, and you better have a kick-ass defense. I wouldn't feel great if I were a team that felt, and I don't know if Falcons fans feel this way, feel they're close to being a great football team. If they are, if you do feel that way and Cousins is the answer, it's a head scratcher. Also in the division, you have the Green Bay Packers saying goodbye. Man, this was a surprise to me. I didn't see this one coming at all. I thought for sure they were going to give the benefit of the doubt to Aaron Jones after the great finish he had last year. All five of their last five games, he rushed for more than 100 yards. He also was valuable coming out of the backfield. He'll catch the ball for you, and he's a pretty good rack guy, especially for a running back. They parted company with him and signed Josh Jacobs. This is a guy who took a $5 million pay cut a year ago. This speaks to how fungible NFL teams are treating the running back position, doesn't it? They asked him to take a $5 million pay cut a year ago. He was the good soldier. He did it. He got hurt opening day. He hurt his hamstring against the Bears. You remember the opener at Soldier Field when Jordan Love was dissecting the Bears' defense, did not get intercepted on the day. The Bears' offense was stuck in the mud. Aaron Jones had a big day. He had 127 yards from the line of scrimmage, rushing, receiving, when he went out with the injury middle of the third quarter. He had a long way to go. He was en route to 200 all-purpose yards against the Bears. And in week 18, when Green Bay came to Chicago and beat them, I'm sorry, that game was at Lambeau. The Packers beat the Bears 17-9, even though it wasn't that close. Love was 27 of 32 for 300. And Aaron Jones had a big day. He had a huge day on the road against the Cowboys in Green Bay's divisional win. Three touchdowns against Dallas. The vaunted Cowboys get smoked at home. And Aaron Jones was a huge part of it. He was terrific running the ball against the 49ers in the divisional round. And the 49ers wind up winning that game because of a couple of missed Green Bay kicks. Green Bay was outplaying the Niners, the eventual NFC champs. Goodbye, Aaron. Thank you very little. There's the door. The Packers get younger at the position. Josh Jacobs, even though we know him pretty well, is still a young guy, 26 years old, and he gets a nice four-year deal. It's an upgrade at the position, I think, because of the age and I think the explosion. I think Jacobs is a better bet there. He also didn't suffer the injuries Jones did last year. It wasn't just the hamstring. When he came back from the hamstring, he suffered what they feared was a tear, not the ACL, but he had an MCL that looked like it was a tear, and he played through it. He has shown the door on the way out. Running backs. And then you get a guy like Saquon Barkley who takes a deal from Philadelphia and leaves that cesspool that is the New York Giants still in quarterback hell, looking for somebody to return the Giants to just respectability offensively. After a little puff of a season from Daniel Jones when they went to the playoffs in Brian Daboll's first year. That was a little breath of life for the Giants offense. Saquon Barkley is the man. His career window is short. Why not stay in the division and go to a team that isn't bashful about being a win-ugly football team? I think that's what the Eagles are under Nick Sirianni. I think they would like to relax the world of Jalen Hurts a little bit more and get more stout in the running game. And I think he'll provide that for them. He's also terrific as a receiver. That's a win for Philadelphia. Man, this stuff is hopping, isn't it? Cousins to the Falcons. And here's something I want you to file. Do with this what you want. But the next time you're having a debate at your neighborhood saloon with your buddies and the topic of a player going home makes sense to them. Well, he's from Miami or he's from Seattle. It's a perfect fit that he would join the sea. Don't buy that for a second. It is not nearly as valuable to most players as you think it is. And maybe you don't think this way, and I'm scolding you unnecessarily, but it is so regularly assumed that a guy wants to go home. That's not always true. There are a lot of hellish existences when you go home. And they're obvious. People come out of the woodwork to tug on your coattails. Hey, can I get tickets? Hey, would you speak at my son's Little League banquet? And what do? You can't run forever. You wind up saying no, and then people say, oh, man, is he an asshole? He's forgot where he's come from. You can't win in some instances. The demand for tickets, the demand for your time, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And with some players, they just want the money. There are guys who just, and they don't care. Everybody, a lot of people also make the mistake of thinking, well, this late in his career, he needs a chance to get a ring. Don't assume a ring is what motivates him. if he's an offensive tackle and he's got 10 years in the league, don't assume this guy who has had to fight for everything he's earned is going to go with the team that best gives him a chance to win. He wants security for his kids and for his grandchildren. It's silly to make that assumption. Guys want to go home and guys want to win a ring. Some of them just want to get paid. Painful as that is for those of us who are sports fans and would like to believe it's the sheer joy of competition. No, it ain't for some guys. It's about getting paid. The longer Field stays on the Bears roster, the happier I get. And it is a small hope. But I am holding out that hope. The Bears go to training camp with Caleb Williams and Justin Fields on the roster. That would make for an exciting training camp. And whether Fields would like it or not means nothing to me. He's staring at being a backup right now. Nobody has beaten down the doors to get him. The Bears have had many conversations about trading Fields. They haven't heard anything they've liked. So why not hang on to him? When we get to September, somebody is going to have an injury or a quarterback who didn't have a good camp. And that makes him that much more valuable. And it gives you an insurance policy. Should Williams get hurt? Should Williams not have a good first 3 weeks of training camp? And you go into the season wondering, is he ready? Fields wasn't. And then when he got his opportunity way earlier than they wanted to because Andy Dalton was hurt, Matt Nagy drew up a garbage game plan for him on a date against Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns on the road. Yeah, Matt Nagy. What did he get sacked? 10 times in that game? So if you're the Bears, you hang on to this guy. There is no reason to deal him today or tomorrow or before the draft, unless you are absolutely knocked out of your seat. What if the Vikings came calling to you when they get to September? There's an opportunity because the Vikings at 11 in the draft, unless they move up, are not going to get a chance to get one of the big four. It's highly unlikely the fourth graded quarterback, and he may go third, but J.J. McCarthy, most think he's going fourth. The only debate is whether Drake May or the kid from LSU, Jaden Daniels, goes second. It'll go Williams, May, or Daniels, and then McCarthy. Now, if the Bears, if you get to the draft and the Bears, you know, are staring at J.J. McCarthy, if he slips to 9, assuming the Bears hang on to 1 and 9, or just the 9, and McCarthy is sitting there for him, and they don't want him because they don't need him. They've drafted Williams. regardless of what they do with Fields, would they think the Vikings would be happy to give you that 11th pick, trade up a few slots for you so they could get McCarthy? You hold him hostage then. Or you get him in training camp. You'll get somebody in training camp to overpay for Fields. Maybe you get a number one. I don't think you do right now. So as the message is being communicated to Fields, he's not an NFL starter. Every day he wakes up on the Bears roster, it's another day to doubt himself. It's another day for him to explore the possibilities of what might be and what might be a different reality than he anticipated or desired. The ultimate gadget, if you've heard the podcast before, that's what I want him to be. I want to be right. I want to be the guy who people say, man, McNeil had this well before he was a member of the Washington Commanders or the Las Vegas Raiders. You pick a team, or even the Bears. And they turned him into Taysom Hill with more elusiveness and more speed and a better arm, a guy ability to throw a long ball. The things you could do with Fields, getting him 10 or 12 touches a game out of shotgun or under center. You're not afraid to let him throw the ball. He's not off the charts terrible as a passer. He just hangs on to it too long. He's not always incredibly accurate. And he doesn't protect the ball, even though he got better at it this past year. He is an enormous threat and will continue to be until he gets his knee blown out. Get him the ball in space. Play him in the slot. And he's a tremendous decoy. You can play him in the slot, and if he draws double coverage because people are afraid of that bubble screen and a little hip shake he might put on a guy and get out in the open, all he needs is one block from his ex receiver to bust off a big one like you know he can. That's going to give a guy on the other side an opportunity. Easy pickings for a DJ Moore et al. Tyler Scott. Now in year number two out of Cincinnati. Wani didn't like that pick. Oh, I didn't like it. I thought they could have done better than receiver. Wani just wanted him to draft all defense. So Justin Jones is a member of the Cardinals. That's a loss for the Bears because he started all 17 games last year and he had more sacks than any other defensive tackle on their team. 4.5, not that significant. Not McMichaelian. Who had 10 or more sacks in 3 of his 13 years in a Bears uniform. I think when you look at the roster the way it's constituted now, what they obviously are doing, they're counting on an uptick from the two rookies last year, Dexter and Pickens. You got to get more out of those two guys. You've got to have a nose tackle who not only can plug up the A-gap for you, but who can get off blocks and get pressure. Somebody to help out a Montez Sweat. And Justin Jones was the starter. Those kids did not earn a start ahead of him last year. So that's a loss. That's a loss. He's been a consistent player, not a big name player. I remember seeing him get pressures or get a sack and disappointed when the number flashes. Oh, it's Jones. It's 93. I was hoping it was Dexter. Because I was among those who was saying, hey, Gervon Dexter's going to be a real guy, real player. I was believing what I was hearing when they were talking about how good he looked in preseason workouts. That lets you know everything you need to know about hyperbole in the offseason. I've missed several of the free agent moves. Can't get them all in today. And rather than go fumbling through my notes, I will just comment quickly to wrap this up on the Bears apparently pulling the plug, at least for now, on Arlington Heights. The Bears bit off more than they could chew. Who saw that coming? 326 acres that touch 4 different municipalities. The Bears are now saying, well, probably stay in the city after all. And are they going to build in the Bronzeville neighborhood where the White Sox are toying with a project that would mean a new stadium for them? What a mess. What a ma and pa shop. You don't see this in other organizations, this stupidity and the rush to do something And they rushed the renovation project back in 01. You remember the 02 season when they had to schlep down to Champaign 16 times or 8 times. They wind up going 4-12. All the players commented that that was a season like playing 20 road games or 16 road games. Second to last under Dick Geron. It's not a surprise to me the Bears fumbled here. It's not going to cost them in the long run. That property likely will appreciate in value. What do you do on it? It doesn't matter what you do on it. That area does not need another shopping mall. Woodfield is very nearby, one of the biggest tourist attractions in the state of Illinois. But somebody is going to find out. Maybe that's Jerry Reinsdorf's next home. Maybe Reinsdorf, since he's so into these properties, and I think he's into real estate, which was his initial line of work, more than he is constructing a baseball team. And he knows he's always going to be a small market team from the standpoint of budget. You can't commit $125 million of salary to a team that just doesn't get it back at the gate or through radio and television revenue. They're not the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Yankees or the Mets or a lot of other teams. They're a small market team operating in a big city, and maybe the suburbs would be a great destination for Jerry Reinsdorf, and you put a retractable dome on it so you can earn money for the state by hosting a Super Bowl. Although baseball, football stadia typically don't work well. There haven't been many that have. Quite dysfunctional. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the White Sox will find an architect who's just out of this world and can make a baseball slash football stadium a Final Four at the minimum in your baseball stadium. Concerts during the winter, concerts where you need more seats than you do at the United Center, because 20,000 is just not enough to go see Billy Joel or Elton John on his next final tour. I've gotten suckered in on that one for the last time. Anyway, I'm drifting here, but the fact of the matter is there was so much assumption based on what the Vikings did with their new building, which is called the best in the NFL by many people who have been to TCF Bank Stadium. I hope I got that sponsorship right. It is beautiful on the outside. I've seen it. I've not been in it. They say it's an amazing, amazing facility, and it absolutely deserved the Super Bowl. And everybody who's NFL media who travel around the country and go to all of these state-of-the-art venues, they were all knocked out by U.S. Bank. And everybody said, or TCF, one of the banks, everybody said, I think TCF is the Gophers, it was Kevin Warren who made that happen. It wasn't. Kevin Warren was a figurehead with the Vikings. He wasn't the guy. Yeah, he was the big boss man, but he didn't oversee the project. He wasn't out there with his shovel. Kevin Warren spends a lot of time in the office. He's very proud of that. He works 18-hour days. Word I get is he spends 16 of them in meditation, maybe the other two going over his schedule on when he can next overcommit to a large acreage, a large piece of real estate the Bears really don't want to get into because they had no idea about tax ramifications and how every municipality of the four wanted it to be greased. What were they expecting? Merrill Hodge, the former Bears running back and Pittsburgh Steelers running back slash fullback, is going to join me on Thursday's podcast. We're going to talk about his now dated comments, but comments nonetheless. I'll get him to expand on why he thinks Caleb Williams is something other than special. We'll also talk about NFL free agency with Merrill and some of the college players he watched this year while doing college football who might be off the radar, who could be there when the Bears pick at number 9. I want to thank Sam Michael, who is the executive producer of the Danny Mac podcast. Adam Delavitt runs the show at Bet Rivers Podcast Network. Randy Merkin takes care of all of our guest bookings. Alex Pastor with social media. Troy Mocker, research and development. Back Thursday, if not sooner, on the Danny Mac podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.